than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go. The season is winding down. A mere 2 games left of the year. And hey, 2021 is almost out the door. We got a little bit more time left for 2021. 2022 is about to kick the door in. But joining me as always to talk all about it, he's going to be welcoming the Rams to town. What's going on, Josh? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Coming off a holiday weekend and time off, and then now we hit another holiday weekend and New Year's, and this is our last show of 2021. We're going to close out the year. We're going to close out the year strong podcasting, but it seems like the Ravens don't want to close out the year strong at all. Man, 4-game losing streak. What's going on, bro? We both obviously predicted the big L in Cincinnati, but not in that way.
Yeah,
I was kind of joking pregame. I said this might be a 40-7 game, and my buddy's like, "You're close."
Yeah,
41-21. I'm like, "Yeah, I gave him 2 more touchdowns credit." I mean, dude, with the team with IR and in the COVID list, it was slim pickings, man. There was names I never seen before. They hung in there as long as they could. I mean, dude, you had to feel great when you're like, "Wow, they held them to 3 points," and the Ravens actually did something crazy. They went down and scored a touchdown, and I actually wanted to bring this up because we talked about this on the podcast. You texted me that you actually did the sports book. And
that's right.
I was going to ask you how it went, but I already looked and I went to save it for the show. The Ravens scoring first was the only thing that didn't hit for you. You would
that's
actually
true.
Had all 5, but the Ravens actually surprisingly came out of the gate, scored a touchdown first. I'm like, are you kidding me? As soon as I saw that happen, I'm like, oh, you just lost because you hit everything. You had the Bengals.
I did
the Bengals with the money line. You had the Bengals to score at least 25 points total.
Yep.
They scored
yep.
41. The over hit, which I think was 43 or 43 and a half. That definitely was covered almost by the Bengals themselves.
Yep.
And then you had Mark Andrews, any touchdown scorer. And then you had Bengals scoring first touchdown, and that was it. If you had the Ravens, you would have hit the ticket. I'm like, see how fun it is, though? You're 4 out of 5 for your first time. It ain't that bad.
It was wild, dude. Like it was like, crowded around these machines. It was a big screen, like a big monitor, like going from the ceiling to the floor.
Where did you do it at?
Ocean Downs Casino, right? In Berlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was definitely wild just looking at everything that you could pick, and you could go player by player if you wanted to for bets. I mean,
awesome.
It is a crazy amount. I mean, I was kind of lost. I didn't know what I was doing, but I think, you know, I was like, all right, I think these are pretty good things. But like you said, never bet with your heart. That's exactly what I did, because I did pick the Baltimore Orioles to win the World Series, which I'm not expecting to get that $5 back, but
what's the odds on that? What was the odds?
Let me find it real quick. I got
500-1.
Yeah, I got them sitting right here.
That'd be great. I mean, $5. I mean, you never know.
Yeah. So I did a $2 bet, and the potential payout would have been $142
for the Orioles.
Yeah, for the Orioles to win the World Series
for $2. Who cares? I mean, you're right. You're like, it might never happen, but if it does, there's a cool 140 for you. There it is officially. Hey, why not?
Yeah. So I was like, hey, I'll just hold on to that and see what happens.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's a long shot. But it seems like the Ravens, they had a long shot to win this game. I mean, it started off great, right? You know, they took the lead 7-3. You're like, wow, Josh Johnson gets inserted less than a week. He goes right down the field. And finally, Rashad Bateman scores a touchdown for the Ravens officially.
Finally.
But how ironic is that? His first official NFL touchdown is not off the arm of Lamar Jackson. It just sucks. But hey, happy for him. He balled out. Mark Andrews continues to ball out, and we're going to talk about him in great length because he's doing great things. The Ravens again, man, it's the secondary, the defense. It's, I mean, we know the end result. When Burrow threw for 500 yards, I mean,
yes,
that tells you the story. and I'm gonna fast forward to halftime because the Ravens were, I think, was it 14-24?
Right.
The Ravens were within 10. The Bengals are driving to try to close out the half, and then the Ravens got the ball in the second half, right? So I was like, okay, you stop them here, you know, maybe get the ball and do something on it. If you don't do anything with offense, great. You get the ball back down 10. Even score at any, whether it's at the end of the half quickly or not, it's a one-score game against the Bengals with who knows is who's in the game at this point for the Ravens. So, you know, you recall they sacked Burrow, 3rd and 19. I'm like, oh, my God, we're going crazy. I'm like, okay, here we go. And nope, the big play killed him. Burrow, I can't remember. Was it I can't remember if it was T. Higgins who he found, and they got tackled on the two. First and goal, and the Bengals ultimately scored there to take a 31-14 lead to halftime. And obviously, you know the end result. Bengals scored 10 more points in the second half. The Ravens only scored 7 and ended up in a 41-21 rout of the Ravens. Again, Bengals sweep the Ravens this year and blow them out both times. And with both times, big plays and passing yards killed them. And pass defense, as we know, Marlon Humphrey was in the first round and led up over 200 yards passing himself defending, and he said he got to do better at that point. So we didn't have him here. He was out for the year. But again, I think you got to give credit to the Ravens and Josh Johnson, and the team, again, keeps fighting. I mean, again, they lost 41-21, but as I just alluded to, they had a lead for a short amount of time in this game. They went right down the field, and they were the first touchdown score. They went right down and was like the first possession was like, wow, they're really going to go toe-to-toe with the Bengals today? Like, really? We're going to go there with these guys? Again, no matter what, even if it was a 20-point loss, the Ravens scored 21 points. They continue to fight, and you got to hand it to them. But, bro, I mean, you had to look at this team at 8-3, even if and you're, like, looking at the schedule, looking at the way they're playing, like, dude, you're not sitting there and playing playoff tickets and locking it in, but they were virtually a lock. I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played, but I'm like, 11 games to be already – 11 games down, you know, a handful to go, and you won 8 of them, like 8 out of your first 11, you're a shoe-in pretty much. You really got to falter, and then, of course, look what happens. You know, you lose 3 in a row by a total of 4 points, and they get blown out. And a once 8-3 mighty football team, you had to have a feeling like the Ravens were going to do something. And
right.
But, bro, they keep fighting. But at a once 8-3 football team, the mighty have fallen, 8-7. They're at the AC at outside looking in right now, man. They got work to do, and we know the scenarios, right? Win the last 2 in a row. Bengals can lose the last 2 in the Ravens division chance, but we don't even want to get into the scenarios. The Ravens now don't control their own destiny. They got to almost treat how our neighbors up north with Philly Eagles are in the same boat. It's and now the last 2 games, because of your, you know, your scenario and your scheduling and your games you're playing and the records. Now these last 2 home games, the last 2 games of the year are essential playoff games. The Ravens have to win out. The 10-7 record gets them in. 9-8 ain't going to do it. Unless the other teams lose out and the Ravens only go 1-1, that's the only way I see it. But I mean, look what's going on, man. Credit the Dolphins. The Dolphins started 1-7.
Yes.
And came out. Look, they're 8-7. They're in the 7th seed. I mean, we all laugh when they beat us, but really, I mean, again, but everybody was like, look at their schedule versus the Ravens. I don't care. Yeah,
they haven't lost since teams. Halloween, right?
Nope, they have not. And they're the first team in NFL history to have a 7-game losing streak and a 7-game winning streak in the same season. How about that? So, you know, not to take the light off the Ravens and what we want to talk about here, but just looking at the AFC playoff picture and what the Ravens need to do, now the Colts as well leapfrog them. They're 9-6. The Colts came out of nowhere. Remember how embarrassing it was with the Colts? You know, they had a pretty much 90 – I mean, we saw the stats, 99% chance to win that game. Ravens had a 1% chance, had no business winning that game. Lamar brings them back, and we win the Colts game in overtime. And now the Colts are the 5th seed. So Ravens, they're just imploding. And, you know, it's kind of like, can we just leave all this losing? Maybe the turn of the calendar and the turn of the year is what we need, because let's leave all the losing in 2021 now, and let's break that. And it starts at home with the Rams this weekend. And it don't even give me confidence, because if we saw Joe Burrow do what he did, right, Brandon? What do you think Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp are going to do? Like, but I don't know, man, but it's, you know, apart from that, again, I give it to Josh Johnson for stepping in and leading the offense the way he can. And they did as much as they could. I mean, but really what I want to talk about, man, is how special is Mark Andrews? It's getting lost in the sauce because of the losing streak, but how awesome is this guy?
He had a rough start to the season, if you remember, back in September. Him and Lamar seemed like they weren't on the same page, but my God, as he picked it up, he's been the MVP of this team throughout the most of this year. He's really showing up. He's being a leader on this offense with Lamar out the last couple games, and with Tyler Huntley even out. You kind of look for somebody to be the leader of this offense, and it is Mark Andrews. He's really stepping up. He has kind of said that he's had something to prove his entire career, how low he fell in the draft. He had something to prove ever since then. So, I mean, this is what you want from a team, especially a team on a losing streak. You want someone like Mark Andrews to be there and still fight all the way through. But he's earning every dollar of his contract right now. He's doing absolutely phenomenal. And yeah, there is a losing streak going on with the Ravens right now, but he's still showing up every single day, and he's fighting through all of this COVID stuff and all this losing streak and all these hardships and everything like that. It's not stopping Mark Andrews. He's coming out and he's playing the best game that he can.
He is, man. And what's remarkable is we if you look back on his season, you know, he didn't get off the touchdown snide until the Indy game. He got two touchdowns in that game and then scored another one against the Chargers three in a row. You know, he scored three in that little pocket of games before the Cincinnati game. You know, he's got 9 total touchdowns this year. Do you know he's 15 yards shy of setting the Ravens mark for receiving yards, I believe.
That's right.
Or is it? So he's got something special to do in the last two games. He's already got 1,000 receiving yards for the year. But you know what's remarkable? Not only that, you said, like, he's the MVP right now. He's the MVP of my fantasy team because him and Justin Jefferson alone single-handedly got me into the fantasy finals this weekend. If it wasn't for Mark Andrews balling out the last 3 weeks for me, zilch. Because for our fantasy guys out there in my league, I'm going to tell you this, what he's done in the last – and for Brandon, fantasy points, when you hear how high they are, it translates to what he's done on the field. Week 14 against Cleveland, 31 points. Green Bay, 38 points. Cincinnati, 29. So – and I want to cover this because Mark Andrews, he's had those last three games are his three of his top four games this year. His best game, obviously, was the Colts game, 44 fantasy points. He had 11 catches for 147 and 213 targets. We understand Lamar went down. We knew how special and how targeted, like how often targeted he is under Lamar, right?
Right.
We know, and it seems like the Ravens have a love fest for tight ends, right? Todd Heat back in the day. We had Shannon Sharp as a free agent. You know, Flacco loved his Dennis Pitta, right? And then now you have Lamar, Mark Andrews. It's something special going on in Baltimore with tight ends. And the lineage continues, but I'm going to just give you perspective. Lamar goes down in the first quarter of the Cleveland game, right?
Right.
Do you understand in the last three games, Mark Andrews has not had Lamar under center. He's had Tyler Huntley for two games and Josh Johnson. He's had, just think about this in the Cleveland game. He had 11 targets for 11 catches, so he caught all of his targets, 100%, for 115 and a touchdown with a backup in. Green Bay game with Tyler Huntley in. He had 13 targets, caught 10 of those balls for 136 and two touchdowns. Cincinnati game, Josh Johnson comes out of nowhere. 10 targets for 8 catches, 125 and a touchdown. Mark Andrews, no matter who's under center, is balling out. That is incredible, and that just shows you who the true MVP is. Just throw it up to Marky Mark, man. Let him catch it. He is balling out. He is the Ravens. Apart from, I guess, Tucker for kicking an NFL record 66-yarder, can't take away that because that's impressive. You know, number 9 and 89, you know, they're getting it done. And, you know, it sucks for Lamar with him being hurt and having a down year as well. You know, his limelight was 2019, but Mark Andrews has emerged. And everybody's been talking about it's no secret now. Everybody's talking about it on the shows, whether, you know, now it's like Mark Andrews, the number one rated fantasy tight end. Is Mark Andrews going high in drafts next year? You know, and then they're talking about it on the media, like it's Mark Andrews is the man right now, Baltimore. And it's exciting. So, you know, to take all the negatives away from the winning streak and to take, because we know what's going on. You know, we know the injuries. We know we can't take the IR spots back. The guys are gone. They're gone for the year. The COVID, they're coming in and out. It's league-wide. Can't control it. It is what it is. You know, everybody's belly aching about the moving the games and what about, you know, with forfeiting and, oh, you moved games for this team but not this team. You know, it is what it is. We can get upset about it. It's out of our control as well. But the fact remains is these games are still going on. no matter what, Mark Andrews is producing at a high rate, which is awesome to see without Lamar. So I expect that trend to continue. And it's just awesome to see with Mark doing something special this year, especially with the record at hand.
Yeah, Mark Andrews, he definitely has been the shining light of this year. And he's at least keeping things interesting for the Ravens, because we really don't know. The Cincinnati Bengals game, I mean, that kind of felt like the Ravens practice squad almost. I mean, there were so many players out on this COVID list. It didn't feel like we were watching the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know how you felt about it, but to me, I was kind of, like you said, there were people going, who is that? Who is this? Who's playing here? And we've kind of been doing that all year, but it really was an emphasis this time against Cincinnati because of just how many people were out on the COVID list. I mean, who was it? Was it Tony Jefferson, who's been out for 2 years or something? He came back, he played a game, and then he landed on the COVID list. So it's 2021. It's what we have to deal with as a reality for this league, and it's only getting worse with this Omicron variant.
But he's already
there.
Off the list, so that's good news. He had reported today that him, Huntley, and Matabuke got taken off the list, so we're getting players back. They already activated Houston, Board, Welsh, and Stone, and everybody else, you know, off the list. So, I mean, people are coming off.
There's one player left on the COVID list, yeah.
So, I mean, we got Huntley back, Lamar, and we're going to talk about that leading up to the Rams games. We know the footage with Lamar, and that's a big concern, but that's good to know that reinforcements are coming. But yeah, just looking at that, it just, the team was ravaged. This reminded me of the Pittsburgh game last year, where the game was already moved twice. I think it was that random Tuesday they played, or Wednesday? I think it was a Wednesday afternoon. That's right. Because yeah, that was like the last day of the week. And we had that unique football 7 days of the week last year in some fashion. And and it still hung in there. And I know the fans were upset, like, why didn't they move the game and all that? But I'm like, I'd rather them play reinforcements than forfeit. Because could you imagine that the Ravens would have to forfeit a loss here? So yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, you're right. It's the realm that we're in. And I mean, I'm sure the Ravens themselves and the coaching staff are complaining under their breath. But again, what you can do, every other team is in the same boat. Yeah. I mean, the Browns didn't have Baker Mayfield. So, you know, you could say, oh, they lost to the Raiders because they didn't have Baker. I mean, every team's in the same boat. They're missing key players, whether it's IR or COVID. It is what it is. You know, let's just hope it, you know, it dissipates for the playoffs, because I would hate to see a playoff matchup implicated. Let's say like somebody big names out, because then what are you going to do? You ain't going to move playoff games. Because then you're going to make everybody upset, be like, you didn't move regular season games, which have impact. Now you're going to move playoff games. So, like,
do you remember last year? It was, yeah, Patrick Mahomes almost had to miss the Super Bowl because the barber came in and tested positive for COVID, and he was like in line to get his hair cut.
I remember that. That was like a big deal. And I'm like, yeah. So, like, it's very scary. But I mean, we applauded the NFL doing it last year. They didn't cancel any games or even. We call it a COVID. I always call it 2020 COVID year, even though we're still dealing with it. But I just think that's 2020. That's what I alluded to. You know, and in that year, the NFL completed all 256 games, all playoff games, didn't move a game. I mean, they rearranged the schedule, but it canceled any games. All the whole slate was played, including the big game. So let's just hope, you know, things get better. It is what it is. It's the environment that we're in. But injury ravage or COVID ravage or not, we just hope the Ravens can put up a good fight, and that's what they continue to do. And media is recognizing it. They said no matter what, you know, the coaching staff, they didn't like get blown out like 30-0 before they got their first score. Like, they went right down and were like, we're in this game. And then, you know, obviously the defense reared its ugly head, and they couldn't stop T. Higgins, and they couldn't stop Joe Mixon. And lucky for me, I actually went against Joe Mixon in my semifinal fantasy and still won. So, I mean, how's possible? But Joe Mixon balled out too. So that's what's very concerning, because then you look at the matchup this Sunday against the Rams, and you're like, yeah, we understand Matt Stafford had it down. Yeah, I mean, I had Matt Stafford on my team. He only scored 10 fantasy points. I'm like, Tyron Huntley and Josh Johnson alone outpointed Matt Stafford the last 2 weeks in fantasy, which is incredible, right? So you're thinking like, but after what Joe Burrow just did in dissecting the Ravens defense, I know it was COVID ravaged and we're getting guys back, but still, they gave up 500 passing yards. So a lot of people are like licking their chops with this matchup, both in fantasy and then picking against the Ravens. But not only that, but Cooper Kupp is having a fantasy season himself, not only fantasy, but he could set the NFL mark with receiving yards.
I mean, Nate Burleson's calling for him to be called the MVP of the league.
Yep. Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, Jonathan Taylor can make a case for that, being the running back that he is this year. And there's other people, you know, Aaron Rodgers making a case. You know, Tom Brady's still up there doing his thing, leading the charge, defending champ as he is. And And then look at the Chiefs, man. They're down. They were down and out 3-4. We thought they would be done, and here they are. So these teams are peaking. So it's good football, but the Ravens went the other way. So with injuries, with COVID ravaged, and it's a tall order, because if they have to win these last two games, you got the Rams coming into town with Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp. Now, for some reason, you know, we understood that J.K. Dobbins was lost in preseason. There's a possibility that we see an injured player come back, but for the other team, Cam Akers might play in this game.
Yeah.
Limited, which is insane, because he went down early in like mini camps, I think. So before like draft, fantasy draft started. So the Rams pose a threat, but it could be a good test. Whether the everybody's looking past that saying, well, the Steelers could be done and out and we could trounce them. Steelers are always the Steelers. Let's wait till we get to Steeler Heat Week. But we got to get past the Rams. But Rams pose a big threat. And this is why I'm interested to see, because the Ravens, not only for my fantasy implications, because not only do I have Matt Stafford on my fantasy team for the final, the other guy's got Cooper Kupp. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
And I got Mark Andrews too. So, but not only that, but with the players to come back, I want to ask you as well, because it may be an answer to my own question, because I'm curious and want to ask too, is do you see the Rams offense having as much success as the Bengals just did? Because even though the Bengals played with the COVID roster or against the COVID roster and we got players coming back, or do you think the Ravens are going to have that same dismal performance? They are dead last in passing defense, as we know, and passing's been an issue all year long, pass defense. Do you see the Rams kind of doing the same thing and moving the ball well in the air and having success there? Or what do you see going on there, even with guys coming back?
I think even with guys coming back, the Rams are going to be able to throw this ball anywhere they want to, as far as they want to. I think the secondary is – I mean, it's abysmal. The one of the only starters for the cornerbacks that we have is Anthony Averett, and he got hurt in the last game and bruised up his ribs. I don't think he practiced on Wednesday. He did not participate due to his injury to his ribs. So I think that's really gonna that's gonna kill him. And the other thing that's really gonna hurt them is the fact that Adafe Owe did not participate in practice on Wednesday due to a foot injury. So you have a guy that was kind of the star at the beginning of this year that was able to get to the quarterback as quickly as possible. He was leading the team in sacks, and potentially he won't be out there on the field. You have the secondary who, I mean, it is barely a secondary out there. Anthony Averett, who normally would not be your number one guy, he's not even there. So I think Matt Stafford is going to have a day, and he's going to be able to throw this ball all over the place. I don't think that this Ravens defense is going to be able to stop anybody, him or Big Ben, next week. It's going to be really rough. If the Ravens were to win this game against LA, it's going to have to be because the offense has completely outshined everybody else out on the field.
And what a difference 2 years makes. Remember Monday Night Football last year in LA, the Ravens absolutely embarrassed the Rams.
They did.
Embarrassed them. And Lamar threw for 5 touchdowns. It was amazing. And the turnaround in this team's and cheers, we noticed that obviously the quarterback scenery changed for the LA Rams, and they have their own injuries to work through with the running backs. But and what's concerning me with this matchup, right? Seeing Lamar rolled out, it was great to see. We got the breaking news and everybody rejoiced. Lamar Jackson was back at practice. Everybody was applauding.
The picture, Lamar on the field. I was like, yes, all right, here we go.
Yes, then they put him like throwing. Yep.
Then you see the video of him on Twitter. Yeah. And he's got a limp. He's taking it easy. He's not doing a lot. At least he's out there, which is great. However, seeing that video, I'm going, there's no way he's going to be ready for Sunday.
And not only that, but do you know who's playing against on the other side of football? Aaron Donald and Von Miller.
Yeah.
There's no way. He would get his foot broke off. Sorry, dude, but don't want to wish that happening. But that's a possibility. I'm not running Lamar out there with those two guys. I mean, dude, Aaron Donald's a freak of nature, all pro. We know what he's about. They added Von Miller. You got Jalen Ramsey covering in the secondary. I mean, it's going to be bad news. I'd rather have a healthy Tyler Huntley running around, maybe even dress Josh Johnson. I don't know if the Ravens even retained him. I don't even know what they did with him. Sad to say, I don't know. I don't know if he got released or the Ravens. Yeah. I hope the Ravens retained him, because Lamar's not healthy right now. And I actually, the way Huntley's been playing, I want 100% Huntley out there against this team. And especially after we did against Green Bay, I mean, he had 4 total touchdowns, 2 in the air, 2 rushing.
Yeah.
He's going to get it done. And if it wasn't for COVID, he probably would have gotten it same thing done with Josh Johnson. So, I mean, it was almost like the same quarterback. It's like a system thing with these guys. It's so crazy. So, no, I don't like it at all, especially with the personality he's got to go against. I mean, if we look at it, the Ravens, especially as of yesterday, had a lot of did not practice and limited. I mean, Lamar was limited, so was Tyus Bowser. But let's add the do not practice list. Averett, Duvernay, Harrison, Houston, Levine, Owe, Phillips, Powers, Ricard, Young, Zietler. That's a whole list of do not practice. So a couple guys limited, a couple of guys do not practice. We have a handful of guys coming off the COVID list back in ranks. Obviously, for the Rams, it's a lot less. I mean, I'm looking at a Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald do not practice, but it's probably a veteran day off because of fun. Yeah. So probably in most cases for the Ravens, but I don't really think so because we've had so many injuries and all that. Who knows, man? It's a revolving door of that. But covering the injury report, covering the matchup, I mean, I'm excited to hear you say, like, oh, Stafford's going to have a field day throwing the ball around because, hey, he's going to be my fantasy guy, lead me for the championship here. And I'm just excited, as you can tell, because I'm in seven, eight leagues this year, and I made the playoffs in one of them, and I made the final in one of them. So I actually marched through, took out the defending champ. I'm actually in the finals, and it's the league that I host. So I'm pretty excited. I haven't won this league in, like, since I had like Megatron and Tom Brady on my team, like back in their heyday. So not that Tom Brady's not done, but that just shows you how long it's been for me to win. And I haven't won a fantasy championship in a long time. So I'm excited. So especially with this matchup and don't know what's going to happen, but to give you insight, the projected points are dead even at 132. So it's a coin flip right now for the guy I'm going against. So it's going to be fun. I will certainly let you know how I did. And I can't wait to have Super Bowl or fantasy championship parade down Main Street.
Yeah. Do you get a belt or something?
Oh, Lombardi trophy, actually.
You do get a Lombardi. Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. I was going to do the belt, but I'm like, you know, for all the diversity that we have in the group and the guys, I'm like, you know, it's better to have the Lombardi. So you get the Lombardi and the catch. And it's actually like a really official Lombardi. Like it's almost the exact specifications of the trophy. Like it's like 22 inches. It's like, it's heavy. And it's chrome plate. I'm like, it's not the actual trophy because I could spend a fortune, spend $500 to get like an actual like Lombardi trophy engraved with like my fantasy stuff. But again, I don't do that. So I treat the guys and I get them a trophy that's actually chrome plated. So it still has that shiny feel and it feels and looks like an actual, like when you have it, literally when it's sitting at the table and you look at it across the way, you're like, you literally think that's like an official Lombardi trophy because it's shiny, it's chrome plated and it's heavy. Yeah. So I give that out as a prize every year along with the cash prize. So I'm looking to get one, but I'm going against a Browns fan and get this. He has Nick Chubb on Monday night. So again, it's going to come down to playing against a Browns fan and it has to come down to a Browns Steelers game on Monday Night Football. I'm going to be, cause he has Nick Chubb. So it's going
to, you're going to have to root for the Steelers. I mean, that just pretty sounds much wrong.
Shut him down. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And all my guys are on Sunday. So I'm going to be like, but hey, I had to rely on the Cowboys kicker being down ahead in the last Sunday night, and he got 8 extra points for me. So, anyway, you know, off that side. But, dude, look at this matchup, man. I don't want to keep rolling with the losing streak, but I just don't see how the Ravens get it done. I mean, I feel like they're going to put up a fight, but I guess it's just hard for me to say it rolling off my lips, but it's like – I see him losing 5 and 5th in a row. It's kind of like I'm expecting them to lose this. Not as bad as it probably could be. Could be bad. Could be blowout. Not as bad as the Bengals game, but it's like, look, we're all expecting to lose. There's a small fan base that's probably like, yeah, they're going to probably pull this out. But hey, they prove us wrong. It's kind of like playing with house money. We can talk about all we want. Ah, the Ravens are going to lose. Who cares? And then they go out and win the game. We can rejoice coming to the podcast next week in a new year and be like, wow, they actually did it, because for a small sliver of the game, I thought they were going to take it to the Bengals and it fell apart. So, Brandon, I just don't see how this team's going to put it together, man. I mean, they haven't won in so long. I mean, just looking at their schedule, what happened?
Ravens have signed the offensive lineman Patrick McCarry to a 3-year contract extension.
Well, that's, so there you go.
While we're sitting here, so that just came over over on the Ravens app.
Yes, it did. That's awesome. And that's great because it solidifies some of the line there. So I'm really excited to see that. Very excited to see that.
And so he's extended now through 2024.
I like it. I've always liked his play on the offensive line. And again, with getting Brian Lee Stanley back next year, getting a healthier Ben Cleveland next year. I love Ben Cleveland on this line. I feel like since he's come back, the line's transformed a little bit better. Again, because we know our weak spots are pass defense and offensive line, because we understand they can't pass block to save anything. So to have a McCarry to get an extension, to be solidified for Raven for the next few years, I love it. Again, you need stability at the offensive line, and it's definitely a good move on the Ravens' part, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And all right, so they just posted a picture of him in like the little media room signing his contract. So good for him. That's congrats. Congrats to him. Yeah. So that's another name that's going to be around for a little bit longer here for the Ravens. So that's good.
And again, you need that stability, because if it's a revolving door, how can you get that consistency in the pass and in the run block? So to have, you know, him come back, he's been here for a few years, to get the extension, good for him. It's a great way to end the holiday season, new year. Ending the year off right, starting the year off good, right? Getting a nice meaty extension on the football team, and know that your career is solidified for at least the next 3 years. So good for him. Good for the Ravens. I definitely think it's a win. I mean, you know, he's not the all pro like Marchionda was, but still, I'm getting instant reaction from one of my group chats, and the one guy's kind of like mad about it, and everybody's like, no, he's versatile. He can play center, he can play guard, he can play tackle. I feel like he stepped up in the light of injury. So that's kind of the instant reaction, raw reaction you're seeing out there. So, it's definitely not a bad move on any part. So look at it. There's two sides of the coin. It's a good move versus bad. So I certainly like that. Absolutely. And I'm glad it broke on the podcast, even though everybody's going to find out, but it's awesome that I like when breaking news happens and we get live on air, like, oh, stop the press, stop talking. But we had it a few times, surprises on our show. So thank you for breaking that, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you're saying that the Ravens are going to be coming away with a loss here on Sunday. I do have to agree with you on that. And, I mean, the other thing that kind of sucks at this point, if both of us say that and it does happen, that's kind of the season. Yes, there's going to be that final game against the Steelers, and that's going to mean a lot because it's probably going to be the last time we see Big Ben in M&T Bank Stadium, ending his career where he started it. But I mean, this probably means that the playoff hopes are gone after this past Sunday, which is unfortunate. So,
you bring up something I wanted to touch on, because I hate it when the fan base is split, right? Like, look, you always want your team, you always want to root for your team to do good and be in playoffs. For me, because you're like, people are going off this limb, off the deep end, like, well, they don't deserve the playoffs, like. Some teams don't even deserve it all and they get there. Like, it just happens. Regardless of how they play, I'd rather have my team in the dance than not, because that means you have a chance. Like Ray Lewis always said that. Just get us in. You can get in and do damage. I mean, look at the Giants. Giants squeak in as a wild card team, and they walk right through the NFC, go to two Super Bowls, and they take down Tom Brady twice. Like, you don't know. Just get there. Just get there and then see what happens. Like, who knows? The Ravens could win the next two games in a row with Lamar, or I always say Lamar Huntley. Why do I do that? With Tyler, it's just easy to do. With Tyler Huntley, and they could have a healthy Lamar for the playoffs. Like, you don't know what could happen. Like, the Ravens continue to fight. They're not getting blown out. Like, if this last four-game losing streak was blowout central, yeah, it'd be dire straits, but we know it. They're 1-2-3 plays away from pretty much being 3-1 instead of 0-4 in the last 4 weeks. So,
right.
And like Harbaugh alluded to, and we talked about it, you know, because, and I touched on this on Sunday, and I know I ruffled some feathers, but it's a fact. And I'm like, you just spoke into existence. Cause I pointed out, I don't know if you saw did you see the end of the Bears Seahawks game?
No, I did not.
Seahawks were winning by 7. Bears drove at the end of the game. They scored a touchdown. What did they do? They went for 2. Mm-hmm. They didn't kick it to go next overtime. They actually went for it. You know what happened? They got the 2 points in 1.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. I put that out on social media. I said, it was Matt Nagy a bad head coach because he decided to go for it? Like, Harbaugh did it twice. The problem is his team actually executed and got to play. They got it. If Harbaugh goes 1-1 in those 2-point conversions or one win better, we're probably still in the playoff hunt. Well, I mean, we're still in the home, but we're probably in the playoffs in 9-6 record. I have to go back and look at it, but I think the Chargers would be out. I have to look at the way it is. I don't know. And, you know, and that's the unfortunate part, right? You know, if they made both of them, they're right now a 10-win football team. So, you know, you can bellyache and go back in history. Oh, you want what a Ravens squandered their chance by going for two. How do you know? Because again, you kick the extra point with 12 seconds left. Who's going to know? Just like with any game, you know, a simple coin toss. And if we can't stop them on offense, it doesn't matter. Lose the game anyway. You don't know. Yeah, they tied a game against Green Bay, but Aaron Rodgers has 42 seconds, one timeout, two or three pass plays of 20 yards. They kick a field goal and go home. Who knows? Like, you don't know that, you know, you just don't know. And it's the same way with, and I hate to even bring this up, just like, how are you going back in the annals of history here? But 2011 playoffs, Billy Cundiff missed a field goal in New England. Look, you know, we understand the whole Lee Evans thing, but that was the forced overtime. Everybody's thinking like we want to win Super Bowl. You don't kick that and go to Super Bowl. You kick that to tie the game.
Right.
If you kick that to Tom Brady in overtime, who knows? They go right down the field and score. Then it's still over. So yeah. You don't know. No one knows the future. No one knows. No one knows. So, you know, you had this. That's why I said I will go to my grave agreeing with Harbaugh all day long. Like, we've had some discussions over holidays with people. It's been fun, but you know, that's what you look at it. And I don't see the Ravens doing it, but if they do it, great. But that, the way I see it, that's the way they get in. I don't see, and to cover the game, I'm going to make this statement too. I'm going to see if you agree or disagree. Whether Lamar practicing tomorrow or not is going to be the key. Whether he's limited, whether we look and see how he is, the footage that I saw 3 days coming into the game, I don't see it happening. Especially what I covered against with this defense, I don't see it happening. I think you roll out with a healthy Tyler Huntley. I said his name right finally, and let him roll out. He's been balling out. He was basically a few plays away from being 3-0 in three starts. So you got to hand it to him. He stepped in Chicago, got it done. Stepped in Cleveland, almost got it done. It stepped in Green Bay, and again, almost got it done. So, you got to put Huntley in there and maybe shelf Lamar for the playoffs or shut him down for the end of the year until see what happens. I don't know.
I mean, if anything, I think you're probably suiting up both Lamar and Tyler Huntley, but I think you're going with Tyler Huntley as your QB1 and you're having Lamar at least in pads, but he's on the sidelines doing his thing, cheering on Tyler Huntley for this one. That footage just Lamar. You got to remember, too, he's coming off this injury to his ankle, but he's also, what, 2.5 weeks without practice? The guy's going to be right. A little bit rusty, too. So I can't see Lamar playing this game. I really can't. And I like Tyler Huntley a lot. I think that he can do his thing and he can put up some points. Absolutely. I think the fact that our cornerback position is so depleted and you have, you know, a potential NFL MVP of the league as a wide receiver that they're going to be up against. I mean, they're going to get outplayed. They are. So I don't know how you beat that. So I think it's unfortunate that both of us are saying losses for the Ravens, but I think that's where we're at right now. And
until something breaks that, you got to go with the trend. And with the injuries and with the matchup, I don't see it happening. Whether it's a close game or a blowout, I can't predict. I'm not even going to put a score prediction on it because who knows? I mean, we thought they'd be get blown up by the Packers and end up being very close. And then you know the way the game started against the Bengals, you thought it'd be a close game, and then they get blown out. So I don't know. So I'm not even going to put a score on it, but I'm just going to put an L on it and cap at that. And if they change the narrative, then we can come back and say, okay, what's the Pittsburgh matchup look like for us and then see how that goes. But I just, for the life of me, I don't see how they escape at home on Sunday with a win. I just don't. And, you know, let's hope for the best that, you know, maybe somebody listens to the call and they don't start Lamar Jackson and they follow our advice and said, They sit Lamar. Let's hope that happens. But remains to be seen, my friend. Remains to be seen. But we'll see. But
yeah,
whether way you slice it, got two home games left, two games in the season, and we're here for it. And it's going to be two good ones. And if that, so let's see how the season ends. But let's hopefully they can start the new year off on a good trend. But I don't see it.
Yeah. So Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, you can subscribe right on our Facebook page so you can listen to the podcast directly on Facebook. Brand new feature Facebook has rolled out mid-season for us there, so that's pretty cool. Let's see, what else should I say? We do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free. Yeah, I know. Right? I'm on vacation.
Come on, man.
I'm on vacation.
Lay off the eggnog, will you? I know you're on vacation still, but come on, man. We got a show.
Yeah, that's how much I love you guys there, by the way. I'm on vacation doing the show.
You literally paused it. We're like, it's kind of like thinking out loud, like, what else should I say? Like, I do, dude, I do it all the time sitting here at work. People, I've been working from home for 2 years. And I mean, people, I have full-blown discussions in my office. Like, dissecting stuff. So hey, I'm right with you, man.
Yeah. All right, so we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Always, Brandon. Thank you so very much. Last show, 2021. The new year is upon us. Let's close it out strong. Start the Ravens new year off right. And again, me and Brandon talk about it. Don't think it's going to start off right for the Ravens. But, hey, new year, same season. Got to get it done. And it's going to be a tall order against the LA Rams coming into Baltimore. As we alluded to, the time change, if you weren't aware, instead of a 4:25 kickoff as it was originally slated, it is a 1 p.m. slate for the Ravens at home at M&T Bank. And I can't wait to get it rocking and rolling in the final two home games of the year and or the season. And just I'm looking forward to a good game and see what happens. But again, gotta love the Ravens' effort, no matter who's under center, no matter who's in secondary, who's blocking, who's running, who's catching. The Ravens, we know these guys are going to fight to the bitter end, no matter what the score, no matter what the circumstances, and you know you're going to get the effort. With all that being said, enjoy the New Year celebration with everybody. That being said, let's fly high into the New Year.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.